Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. A new poll from Pew finds young Jews are increasingly likely to say they have no religion. 10 years ago, 93% of respondents identifying themselves as Jews said their religion was Judaism, 93%. This year, just 78% of Jews said their religion is Judaism. That's down 15 points. So let's start there and dive more deeply into the survey results and the generational shift now taking place in Jewish practice and identity. With Jane Eisner, editor of the Jewish Daily Forward, she helped to write the Pew survey. Hi, Jane. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian, and thanks for having me.
And we will put some caller questions out there as we go. I'll start it off because it dovetails with what's in the survey. What does it mean to you to be Jewish? For our Jewish listeners, what does it mean to you to be Jewish? Just don't think about it too much. Blank and call in. What does it mean to you to be Jewish? 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And so, Jane, from the survey, let's begin with this basic disconnect that I mentioned for Jews listening now, but also for non-Jews who might be scratching their heads thinking, what? How could that disconnect even exist? What does it mean if only 78% of Jews say their religion is Judaism? Is that like 78% of apples saying they're a fruit?
Not exactly. Two bits of context here. First, for many centuries now, there's been a strain of what we call secular Judaism or cultural Judaism of Jews who don't necessarily believe in God or believe that their attachment to the Jewish people is through religion and prayer and worship and learning. So that in and of itself is not new. And I also think it's important to put that number into context in terms of the nation. We are seeing in many, many religious faiths the growth of what the social scientists call the nones, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, people who say they feel spiritual and religious people but do not attach themselves to a particular Protestant church or the Catholic Church. So part of what we're seeing is a reflection of that, both within Jewish history and American culture. However, I think the size of the number really surprised us.
And the size of the number of young people, which indicates the direction things are going, because the percentage of no religion Jews was higher among younger Jews. About a third of Jews born since 1980 said they don't consider Judaism their religion. Why? What's changing?
Well, I think that there is so much of a greater acceptance of Jewish people and culture in this country. You see this reflected in the intermarriage rate. My goodness, in the last few years, we've seen the vice president and the secretary of state marry their children off to other Jews. And I think those loosening ties to just a religious identity are very open for younger Jews. And in a lot of ways, that's great. I mean, this is sort of what happens when you have a big pluralistic, tolerant culture. But I also think that clearly certain religious practices and values are just not feeling very relevant to young Jews. And I think that it is something that we older Jews really need to think about.
So before we get to the phones, 22% of respondents, a third of respondents under 35, as we just said they have no religion but call themselves Jewish. So what did they mean by Jewish? What defines their Jewishness for them in this Pew poll?
Well, we also probed that. The highest attribute for being Jewish, if you will, was remembering the Holocaust. And I think that that is sort of a symbol of a stronger kind of historical memory. Promoting social justice is very, very high and very important to Jews. Being part of an ethical and moral community, very high for Jews. The number I think that a lot of people have looked at with amusement are the high number of Jews who say that it's essential to have a sense of humor to be a Jew. There's ample evidence of that all the time.
That's why you have a sidebar article in the Forward called "We're the John Stewart People."
Yep. Absolutely.
That says we used to be the chosen people. Now it's the John Stewart people.
You bet. Written by our managing editor, Dan Friedman, who is certifiably funny. So I think what we're seeing is a constellation of attributes that also explain why Jews are so stubbornly liberal, why in the poll we show that Jews tend to care a great deal about other minorities and are very worried about discrimination for Muslim Americans and for other minorities. So I think those attributes kind of come to the fore for a lot of young Jews who might relate more in terms of going to see an Israeli film than necessarily going to synagogue.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, the stations of New York and New Jersey Public Radio, as we talk with Jane Eisner, editor of the Jewish Daily Forward. She helped design this Pew poll on Jewish identity and practice. And let's go to the phones. Harvey and Nyack, you called in to tell us what it means to be to you to be Jewish, right?
Yes.
Hi.
It's simple for me. I mean, I'm 70 years old. The more educated I've gotten and lived, the less religious I've got. I'm certainly not a believer in a higher power of God in any traditional sense. But when anybody asks me, I say I'm Jewish culturally. And I identify, I am Jewish just like I'm an American. I am very proud of both. I don't wear it on my sleeve. I don't proselytize it. If anyone offended it or anyone came against it, I would protect it. But that's the extent of it.
Harvey, thank you very much. I think that's a good start. Jessica in Glen Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. So when you said don't even think about it, just blink and call.
Uh-huh.
I did.
Uh-huh.
And for me, I am not religious. I was born I was raised in a pretty secular Jewish family. But we always celebrated Passover. We always had the Seder, very abbreviated, I'm sure, compared to what people are supposed to read in a Haggadah. But the thing that always stuck for me was the phrase, never forget that you were once strangers and slaves in the land of Egypt. And that is something that's very strong in my family, this idea that we were once slaves, and so whenever people around us, if you see discrimination, you have a duty to stand up and say something about it and do something about it. And it was very strong in my family. My dad was a volunteer lawyer with the Lawyers Guild going down south in the civil rights era. Volunteerism and helping the less fortunate.
Jessica, thank you. Thank you very much. So I think we hear some themes that would probably run through a lot of your survey results.
Absolutely. Jessica is the perfect example of, as I said, a lot of what we've seen in terms of this overarching liberalism, which didn't just express itself by saying that Jews are way more favorable towards the Democratic Party than the Republican Party, but also in this sympathy for minorities and for the disenfranchised, in a belief that government, that bigger government is better than smaller government. All those things are very, very true. And it's interesting because those things have not changed, even as arguably Jews in America have assimilated in so many other ways. There is this sort of political civic culture that appears to still be very strong.
And we hear it in election cycle after election cycle, where the Republican Party in general and the more conservative Jews who are members of the Republican Party say, this is going to change. Now we see that Clinton or Obama or whoever it is doesn't stand with Israel. It's usually around Israel. And Jewish support is going to fall off. But presidential election after presidential election, including both Obama elections, Jews vote 70% for the Democrat.
That's true, Brian. But, I think there also is an undercurrent in this survey that urges us not to take that for granted. The Orthodox population was found to be about 10% of American Jews, which actually was not as high as we had thought it might be. However, Orthodox younger Jews really are sticking with it. Mm-hmm. Their fertility rate is much higher. Mm-hmm. Their in-marriage rate is much higher. And there is a direct correlation in among Jews, as there is among Christians and mm-hmm. other denominations, that show that the more likely you are to go to synagogue, the more religiously observant you are, the more politically conservative you are.
Indeed. And I was going to ask you about exactly that with respect to the Orthodox, because you found challenges in this survey for all three major branches of Judaism: Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform. It's the worst for conservatives, mm-hmm. I see. But I was surprised that the Orthodox numbers, frankly, are as small as they were. As the Forward details it, despite Orthodox birth rates that are nearly double the average of the general public, the Orthodox community has grown only slightly as a proportion of the overall Jewish community in the past decade to 10%. So, Jane, I'm surprised by that because when I look around me here in New York, you know, the Orthodox, or let's say those who I can identify by mm-hmm. their clothing, seem to be much more numerous than they were years ago. And I thought the two trends, the polarizing trends, were toward many more secular, unaffiliated Jews, who we've been talking about, but also toward many more Orthodox, but maybe really not so much?
The answer is yes and yes. You're absolutely right. In New York, you know, there was a big survey that the New York Federation did last year and showed a tremendous increase in the number of Orthodox Jews in New York environs. So we are definitely surrounded by it. And even though we know that New York is the center of the universe, it's not actually the only place that we surveyed. What happened, we think, with that Orthodox number is that it reflects a generational shift. Many older Jews who were raised Orthodox are no longer Orthodox. You know, we can apply many anecdotes to this. We cite one in our story. I have another in my family. My father was raised Orthodox and left Orthodoxy to become a Reformed Jew as he grew older. And we see that a lot in people in their older decades. The what's so interesting now is to see what's happening among young Orthodox Jews in their 20s and 30s. 10 years from now, I think that percentage of Orthodox Jews will increase.
Jane Eisner, editor of the Jewish Daily Forward, with us as we talk about the results from a Pew survey that she helped design on Jewish identity and practice among American Jews. And RJ in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, RJ.
Hi there. I love this topic. I grew up and I'm probably second generation secular Jew, and I grew up in what we came to know as the Shulah movement. I don't know if your guest is aware of it, but there for a number of years, certainly through the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, a network of progressive, what we called progressive shulas, which met on Saturdays and taught history, culture, language, and it was not religious. And we celebrated the traditional holidays, but everything was done in the context of a thread of social justice meaning throughout history up to the contemporary years. So when we talked about the Holocaust, we talked about the history of the Jews being thrown out of Egypt, but we also talked about the Vietnam War, and mm-hmm. it was all part of a thread of significant social justice community. And that's why I think we found a lot of mm-hmm. Jews participating in the civil rights movement in the higher echelons,
right?
Because this was part of what Judaism to us meant.
And I'm going to leave it there and get some other folks on, but I think another good representation of some of the things that we were talking about before. Liat in Great Neck, you're on WNYC. Hello, Liat.
Yes, hi. I think one of the major problem of young people leaving Judaism is because of the greediness of the synagogues. How come they are charging? Young people cannot afford to pay $3,500 to go on holidays, to pay for membership. So if you go to a church, you go for free. if you go to a synagogue, you have to pay so much, and I've seen so many young people that they just can't afford it. So rabbis, how come they're getting paid so much?
Rabbi salaries is not an issue we've talked about on this show before. Jane Eisner, what do you think about her theory about charging to go to synagogue, dissuading young Jews?
Well, I'm hearing two different things. First of all, there's no doubt that that synagogue dues are expensive, although I have to add that a few years ago, the Forward did a terrific survey comparing the cost of belonging to synagogues and to churches. And we found, in fact, that most people pay about the same because so many people in churches voluntarily tithe and give their money to support their church in that way. But there's no doubt that the dollar figure for not just belonging to a synagogue, but going to Jewish day school, to going to Jewish summer camp, all things that we know increase Jewish identity, attachment, knowledge, passion, those things have become unaffordable for so many people. And I think it's one of the things that the Jewish community is really going to have to address.
Yaakov in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Yaakov.
Hi, how? To start off with, very quickly, according to Jewish law, someone who is Jewish is someone who is born of a Jewish mother or converted to Judaism according to Jewish law. Okay, but having gotten that out of the way, I want to point out that we have the highest rate of assimilation into marriage in history after pre-Nazi Germany, and many of the great rabbis have stated that when the Jewish people feel at home in a host country, which is a temporary stopping point to the return to Israel, that when we become full-fledged members and feel very comfortable and let our guard down among other people, that God becomes angry and reminds us in very harsh terms that we are Jews.
Yaakov, thank you very much. And your survey did find very large numbers of intermarriage.
It did. I do want to just go back to one point that Yaakov said, and he's right according to traditional Jewish law, except for Reform Jews, in which you just need one parent to be considered a Jew. We decided in this survey just to let people identify themselves. We did not stand in judgment of them. We did not ask for their family history.
Who's a Jew for the purpose of this survey if you told the pollster, I'm Jewish?
Correct. Then we probed, what does that mean? And that's why you see this great variety. But, you know, on intermarriage, look, this is one of the most perplexing issues that the community has faced, not just for years, but for decades. And even though the overall number does not appear to have risen much in the last few years, it's still very high, 58%. And what we found in this survey is that 72% of the non-Orthodox Jews who married since the year 2000 married non-Jews. And so this is an unmistakable trend that's going on. There are good things and bad things about it, but there certainly means, I think, that we have to, as a community, deal with this in a much more forthright way.
One more call on Jewish identity, and this, I think, is going to be a reaction to your essential finding, or one of the findings that we started with anyway, that a third of young Jews today, Jews under 35, say they're Jewish, but Judaism is not their religion. Mark in Lakewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I'm probably typical of the survey for ultra-Orthodox. My sense of nation actually comes from my religion, comes from the religion, flows from religion, rather than an independent nationhood. I just wanted to make one aside about the survey. Can I ask one question?
Of course.
You had a number that said 76% of ultra-Orthodox don't handle money on Shabbos. I know this is a very peripheral point. I thought that was very strange. I find it very hard to believe.
Is it high or low?
24% actually handle money.
Oh, who is this one quarter of ultra-Orthodox who do handle money on the Shabbos, he's asking.
Good question. You know, I don't have all the details right in front of me, but I think that you may be misinterpreting that question. The question was, what is essential to being Jewish? And one of the answers was, or the things that we probed was observing the Sabbath. So it may be that there are, you know, I agree with you. It'd be hard to find ultra-Orthodox Jews who handle money on Shabbat, on the Sabbath, but they may believe that you could still be Jewish if you do so.
And to his original point, and Mark, thank you for your call, the sense of Jewish nationhood originally in biblical times grew out of having the religion. They believed differently from other people, and a sense of nationhood grew up around that. And so you have to ask, can it exist as only a political or a geographical or a cultural thing without the thing that created it in the first place, which is a particular set of beliefs?
Yes, you know, this is always hard to talk about because you certainly... I certainly do not want to impose my beliefs and definitions on others. I personally can't imagine being Jewish without having religion being part of it, without having prayer and ritual and deep learning. I respect and recognize that many other Jews think differently, probably in my own family. But we have always been a people that's been very much about behavior, not necessarily just belief. You know, we have a story in our family about my husband's grandmother. We were once all sitting around the table having a heated discussion like this one about what it means to be Jewish. And she just sat there. And finally, my father-in-law turned to her, asking her in Yiddish, what did she think it meant to be Jewish? And she answered in Yiddish. And she said, a Jew is what a Jew does. And to me, that's really been an amazing, very brief but brilliant description. And so this survey raises that question. What is a Jew? How do we behave? If a Jew is what a Jew does, then what do Jews do now?
So let's wrap up with some more of the numbers from the survey. And here's a contrast. 73% said remembering the Holocaust is essential to being Jewish, but just 19% said observing Jewish law is essential to being Jewish, and only 28% said being part of a Jewish community is essential to being Jewish. What percent said supporting Israel is essential to being Jewish?
Oh, that was very high. We have a majority of Jews who care very much or somewhat about Israel. What we found in this survey, however, is that there's not a lot of support for the current Israeli government and some of its policies. And I think that that's an important message to get across, that, you know, almost half the Jews in the survey have gone to Israel. About more than a quarter, I think, have been more than once. So we do see this attachment, which to me is great. I mean, I don't think you can be a modern Jew without engaging in Israel in some way. However, we really are seeing a disconnect between some of the so-called leaders of the community and what the public thinks.
And bad news for the Knish industry, just 14% of American Jews said eating Jewish food is essential to being Jewish.
I couldn't believe it. They must not live in New York.
Watch Jon Stewart while you're eating your ham and cheese sandwich. Jane Eisner, editor-in-chief of The Forward, thank you very much. How can people see this survey?
Please go to forward.com. We have so many stories, editorials, opinion pieces, videos even, all about this survey. PewResearch.org has all the numbers there for everyone to see. And we are going to be coming out soon with a compendium of all our work so that people will have it in just one place to use.
Jane, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Tom Robbins and Jerry Capisi, longtime crime reporters, among other things, on their book, Mob Boss, The Life of Little Al Diarco, the man who brought down the mafia. Stay with us.